Crime Conversations bring together the biggest names in true crime, recorded live at CrimeCon London 2022, partnered by CBS Reality. For more information on future CrimeCon events, visit crimecon.co.uk.
All right, thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for your patience. So this is the event for the Sean Atwood True Crime podcast. I've got my lovely co-hosts here, Jen, Matthew, and Andrew, and we are going to be talking about three of the biggest stories in true crime. So Jimmy Savile, we've just put out a four-hour documentary on Savile, which took us 4 years to make. We've got the Epstein, Maxwell, Prince Andrew case, and we've got Madeleine McCann. It was supposed to be an hour. Sorry, we can only do half an hour, they've told us. So we'll just try and rush through 5 minutes on each subject and then do 15 minutes at least of questions. If you've got your phones turned on, you're right to turn the notifications off because we are filming it as well. And by way of compensation for you guys waiting, anyone who asks a question will get a free copy of my jail memoir. So when you get your hands up, we'll be choosing those people. So let's start. What subject would you like to start with, Matthew?
Well, what subject would the audience like
to start with? Subject would you guys like to start with out of those?
Right. A very decisive answer there.
Yeah, so what brought you into the Epstein case, Matthew, and what, you know, how has it progressed and what's the sentencing coming out of Maxwell?
I began my involvement with the Maxwells a very long time ago when Robert Maxwell visited my neighbour's house and he was very rude and he shouted at me as a child, and that was my first encounter with him. And then a lot of my friends came to know Ian and Kevin.
Is it possible to turn that?
Don't turn it down.
Okay.
So
it's very loud, isn't it?
So I came to know some of the Maxwells and their associates. And then in 2019, I was at the last event ever attended by Ghislaine Maxwell in Britain, which was a car rally, which is actually happening again this weekend, called Cash and Rocket, which ironically was about sex trafficking, partly raising money for women who were victims of that. And she was driving a car, but nobody photographed her. I didn't know she was there because I didn't know her personally. Everybody was more interested in Paris Hilton, who also happened to be there. So, and Chloe Green, Philip Green's daughter, and people like that. But that was my first involvement. And then I discovered that I knew one of her victims, who I'm in touch with, one of the five counts she was convicted on. I'm in regular contact with her. So that's my basic background to the matter.
So you showed me a spreadsheet yesterday of the sort of connections. Are you going to show people today?
Let's see if I can find this. Basically, you can link Miss Maxwell to so many people. The tentacles of this woman go very, very deep. I have her full address book, which I believe is her address book. I would not call it the Epstein address book. The people I know who are in it, some of them have said to me, we never, ever met Jeffrey Epstein. We knew her. And some of them didn't even know her very well. She wanted powerful people in her address book, and she used those people to blackmail other people. And that was her operative manner. You know, she's a very arrogant lady. She's never named any names. If you look on Twitter now, every day it's, you know, why does nobody get named? Who did she sex traffic these people to? Why haven't they been brought to justice?
Were we aware of Ghislaine for years? Because people were so aware. I mean, people talked about, you know, whispered about Epstein for many, many years. And then Ghislaine popped up. For those of us who weren't that familiar with the case, it was like, who's this person? So were you familiar with this whole thing?
Well, I can tell you that. And Channel 4 backed me up on this. They came and had meetings with me. My former secretary lived in a Mews house in South Kensington where Ghislaine had a house before she moved to Belgravia. Her home was borrowed by the Metropolitan Police for 2 weeks in 1994 to observe the comings and goings of various young women from this particular house. Nothing was ever done about it. And, you know, I find it very curious that Ghislaine went to both school and university with Cressida Dick, who was subsequently chief of the Metropolitan Police.
Wow.
The head teacher of the head of the college was Cressida Dick's father. I'm not suggesting there's any conspiracy there, but, you know, this lady knew how to get herself in front of anybody. she had friends on the in the Republican Party and the Democrats. You know, the family after the father died, you know, the sisters became very powerful in internet businesses. I'd met Isabel Maxwell in California. I didn't know her as Isabel Maxwell. I knew her as Isabel Gerassi. She was married to the man who's the family who created the birth control pill. They had a retreat in a place called Woodside in California where artists would go. That place supposedly was the place Jeffrey Epstein got the idea to build his New Mexico ranch, but he did very wicked things. I'm not saying Christine and Isabel did anything of that sort.
So do you think Prince Andrew got off lightly with the settlement then, as opposed to going to prison and facing the consequences in America or another jurisdiction? For example, Virginia, in her testimony, she said that on the paedophile island, there was an incident where there was an orgy that Prince Andrew, she alleged that Prince Andrew participated in it with underage East European girls who couldn't even speak English. And they were joking that they were the easiest girls to get into these orgies because they couldn't speak any English.
Oh, there are many allegations about Prince Andrew and young ladies, but it doesn't mean that those young ladies were underage in the jurisdiction where he met them. So when when he met Virginia Roberts, as she then was in England, the age of consent here was different to what it was on the island when things happened with her that she alleges. But obviously we'll never likely know the truth of that because who's going to talk about it?
So can we talk about the 500 million paper trail?
So what interests me most about this story is, aside from the poor victims, is the fact that £500 million went missing from the Maxwell pension funds. The poor pensioners were robbed of their, you know, futures. And what people don't realize is that Robert Maxwell went to New York prior to dying. He bought newspapers there, and he entertained on his yacht and all sorts of things. And he met with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein met Robert Maxwell before Ghislaine, I believe. And when Robert died, the first event of a memorial was in New York. Betty Maxwell and Ghislaine sat between Jeffrey Epstein at this party, at this memorial event. You would not be at this table if you weren't somebody very important to that family. And I believe that Robert Maxwell used Jeffrey Epstein as a money funnel. I have evidence from Liechtenstein and Switzerland of money going in and out of there. And Ghislaine, when she gave her first statements after the revelation of the missing money, she said, "They've taken everything from me, even my knives and forks." Why, within a couple of years, was she owning a $10 million house in New York if she had no money? This is the fascinating thing, is where is this $500 million?
All right, we're going to have to go to Savile next then. So we just put our documentary out. It's on YouTube. It's free to watch. It's called Untouchable, Jimmy Savile. And I'll go over to Andrew next for a Savile question.
Well, I don't have a prepared question on Savile yet. Do you want to go?
Just shoot from the hip.
Shoot from the hip? Bloody hell. How did Savile go so long without getting caught by the BBC?
Well, I think it comes back to a question here. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen the Louis Farrugh program about Savile, but when he was in a car with him driving in Scotland, Louis Farrugh asked, you know, what people say many things about you, what do you have to respond about that? And he said, if anyone says anything about me, I'll take them all down. And he again, like Epstein and Maxwell, was a manipulator. And he knew, but he did it in a very different way. They were involved with royals, but he had the police as friends. They would come round for this Friday lunch club. You know, they all knew what he was doing, and nobody said anything about it, and nobody did anything about it.
But did they not say anything because they were all part of the paedophile ring themselves?
Well, some of them may have been, but some of these people were perfectly conned by him. He was a very charismatic person in some ways. He was very creepy, I would say, but, you know.
I think everyone agrees with that one.
What are your thoughts on others from that era, such as Max Clifford and Rolf Harris?
Well, I met both Max Clifford and Rolf Harris, only in passing. And I had a big dispute with Max Clifford's daughter, who said I damaged her late father's reputation, which I did find rather amusing. And one of my friends, who's a television presenter, was raped by Max Clifford, and I've heard many things about him, and he was another manipulator. He would trade one person for another. So his client, the footballer who'd, you know, had sexual relations with somebody and been caught, he'd say, "Don't write about them, but I give you this one instead." And that was he wrecked many lives by what he did, and he lied and he deceived, and he was a thoroughly evil man.
Do you have any optimism about the going forward from here? Because obviously that Savile documentary and your Savile documentary caused such a big storm.
Well, I was amazed how quickly so many people watched that. It was a 4-hour program. They all seem to be very, the comments showed it was very well received.
Yeah, it's got close to 500,000 views in a month, and it's thanks to James, the cameraman at the back, who structured it. Did such a fantastic job. Well done, James.
Yeah, sorry, I was just... just because of the exposure, because of the change in the culture, the way that we talk about these kinds of acts compared to sort of this dirty old man culture back in the day, we now say paedophile. Mm. Do you think...
We live in a different era, and the era of social media has changed so many of these cases. You know, I'm slightly involved with the Menendez Brothers matter in America, and their whole case has been totally changed by young people who weren't even alive when they committed the crime of killing their parents. I mean, they were abused by their parents, but these people are all the campaigners for them, and there's hundreds of thousands and millions of these people. And I think in all of these cases now, the events like this and people using social media spreads the word a lot further and a lot quicker.
So we're going to go to Madeleine McCann. Jen?
Oh, Christ, you know my theory. So, everyone's theory. Hands up if you think it's the parents' fault.
Or they didn't.
They were involved.
Oh yeah, okay, that's different. Because it could be fault for not.
Was she abducted? Hands up. Because that is the interesting question, obviously. Who would you? Because my theory is controlled drugs. The parents gave her controlled drugs, and they hid the body. But yours is abduction, isn't it?
So there's the two abduction theories. You've got paedophile ring, or you've got opportunist. Put your hand up if you think opportunist. Put your hand up if you think paedophile ring. Okay. Matthew, what do you think?
Well, I have actually met Mr. and Mrs. McCann on two occasions through a charity I used to be involved with. I think Mr. and Mrs. McCann have been very unfairly allocated resources as opposed to other missing people cases. You know, £14 million for one child is disgraceful when nobody else gets money. I have a friend who his brother was abducted as a child. They got no help because they were ordinary people. Mr. and Mrs. McCann were very clever through that they had, you know, every prime minister has supported them. Theresa May gave a party for them in Downing Street before she became Prime Minister. You've got all the big business people who funded them on top of the 14 million. They are able to get their way without justice being done for a child that was frankly left unattended with a door open onto a street. And this child has disappeared. It's got an eye condition, which makes it distinctive. With all that money floating around, somebody would trade in somebody. Because the rewards offered by Philip Green, he offered 250,000. The Sun newspaper offered, I think, £1 million. Mm. Somebody would sell out to somebody else over that.
But was it because they were middle class?
Oh, I think and they were able to use connections they had. You know, when their child went missing, they went, aside from going running, which I found very odd, you know, and they were photographed out running. If your child's missing, sure, you'd be out looking for it. They went off to lunch with a paedophile, Clement Freud. And in her book, she talks about how they drank vodka and they had a lovely risotto, and he was a paedophile. And then, you know, all sorts of people flew out there. There were secret services people out there. There was something that was definitely covered up. And there have been many innocent people dragged into this who they have had their names ruined. Now, the man who is currently the suspect, the German, Christian Bruckner, I would say he's a thoroughly awful, repugnant man, and he's done very bad things. But his type of victim is generally much older. He's in prison for attacking elderly ladies. And why hasn't he been charged yet? The latest development there last week was that one of the ladies he's accused of raping had described her attacker as having marks on his legs, and he doesn't he supposedly doesn't have those. So they are using him as a distraction. They keep this story going, but you know, I've spoken with other people whose children have long gone, and there's more chance of finding them, but they get nothing. You know, the case of Ben Needham, who disappeared in Greece, that lady is very tireless in her campaigning, but she always says, you know, why don't I get any help?
Right, we're going to do a last question then from Andrew, then we're going to move over to the audience for questions.
Yeah, well then, what do you think happened?
I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, but I do believe something occurred in that apartment. The cat of our dog sent death in the cupboard. There hadn't been previous death in this apartment. There was evidence of some blood spatter on the curtains. You know, there was all sorts of strange things that happened, but I don't believe, if anything, those parents, there could have been some form of accident. And then there was a cover-up. I do not know. I can't speculate on something I don't know. But having met them, I didn't find him a very pleasant person to talk to. I will say that.
All right, who would like a hard time? You first.
How on earth do people like Epstein manage to kill themselves in prison if they're on suicide watch?
Well, I've written...
that's one you could probably add some more about the American prison system.
I've written a book called Who Killed Epstein? Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton is the subtitle. and literally, camera goes out, cellmate gets moved, extracted the night before. And we've actually got a link to the cellmate now. I've just sent him the book, actually, to see what he thinks of it. Nicholas Tartaglione, massive ex-cop who'd murdered a bunch of people in a drug deal gone bad. They came to his brother's club.
His trial is currently all being delayed and delayed. There's all sorts of bizarre things happening with him.
So there's a theory that there could have been a quid pro quo whereby he facilitated, because Epstein appeared with injuries a couple of weeks before he was suicided. That could have been an attempt that failed. So, yeah, the stars completely aligned for him to be taken out, definitely, we believe. Yes. Okay, who else? Yes?
How did Epstein sort of, like, gain that position of influence? Because I don't think he was born into money like...
Well, Jeffrey Epstein was originally a taxi driver. He became a teacher. He was a very clever man. He became a Ponzi schemer. He never got blamed for that, but he got pushed out of that. But he was a clever money man, and he knew how to manipulate very powerful people. But I think that Ghislaine is more manipulative than him, and I put more blame on her than him.
Wow. So you're putting a shade on her?
Lady here.
He was a rough diamond who'd been moved into these circles, and he became useful to them because he was the bright one, but she was the connected one, and ultimately she was the controller, I will say.
What were your thoughts on Virginia taking the money from Andrew?
Virginia taking her settlement from Andrew?
I would say, you know, she was abused. She has her reasons for doing that, and I think she deserved a settlement. We will never know what the reasoning really was for that, but now she also stands accused herself of being involved in bringing in other people, and that matter will go on and on and on. So, but they didn't manage to completely discredit her as they aim to. So Prince Andrew was a very foolish man who should have made a settlement earlier.
Go for it.
but I found really interesting at the end that it was the internet that helped bring people together to put the pieces together that actually he was doing this a lot. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the internet making these things better or worse.
Well, look at the murder at the Cecil Hotel, was it? And that poor guy out of Mexico, how his life was ruined by these sleuths. So I think it's a double-edged sword. I think the fact that people can communicate and share information is a great thing, but I think crowd psychology can take over and it can go to extremes sometimes.
The big problem with the Maxwell case is I see so much false information put out there via Twitter particularly, and people get very carried away with crazy theories that are too bonkers to even be considered, and then they multiply and then you get nonsense out there. But, you know, you are countering against a man who... I get a lot of emails from a man called Brian Basham, who is Ghislaine Maxwell's PR person, and the threats that they make against me about revealing false information about me personally. They are very good at trying to discredit people.
He threatened to come to this event, actually, and gatecrash it and make a scene.
And we kind of wanted it to happen.
Brian Basham.
And he ran... He ran
Yes. Yeah. Where are you, Brian?
Social.
So he has sent me emails saying I don't exist. I'm not a real person. I did not attend the London School of Economics. I wasn't born on the day I was born. I don't live where I say I live. All sorts of terrible things about people I know. He ran the Dirty Tricks campaign for British Airways. He is a very interesting character, to say the least. The Maxwell family he is their representative. He claims to do this work as their friend. He has an associate called Jay Beecher, who is involved in a far-right newspaper called Political Light, which is involved with Tommy Robinson, of all people. It defamed a writer I know called Peter Jukes by suggesting he'd abuse somebody. And he said, well, why hasn't this person gone to the police? They had to pay big damages for that.
Okay, in the yellow.
Going back to Seville, Clifford and Rob Harris, is there any suggestion that they knew each other and passed people around?
Max Clifford was the PR person for a man named Owen Oyston, who went to prison, a business tycoon, who I did know of. He employed also at his company Stuart Hall. And the Coronation Street actor William Roach, who was cleared of all matters, they were all directors of the same company. They were all friends. These people, yes.
So I've got to speak about Ghislaine's 28th of June. So yes. What do you think the outcome is going to be of the case?
Well, the 28th of June is not far away. The processing of the matter began on the 24th of May. So they put in submissions. The latest I saw this morning was that she is requesting to be transferred to a British jail to serve her sentence because she views American prisons to be inhumane. And she is expected, according to the article I saw this morning, a sentence of around 55 years, but I think it will be lower than that. It won't... It's too late for her now to start trading in the names, I think, at this stage, but she will definitely try and appeal again.
Yeah.
Her family have taken it to the UN also.
I think the lady in the black was next.
Bottom of the ocean.
There were a lot of building sites in that area, and you know, if somebody did want to get rid of a body, the foundations of a building with the concrete going over would be a logical place. But I have no idea.
In the corner.
Hiya, by the way.
Well, this is something that gets talked about a lot on Twitter in relation to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and her and saying, why didn't we get to see her? But it's because it's a criminal case as opposed to a civil case. They're a different...
Because of the pandemic, they did it all by camera court, and we actually have interviewed some people when they were allowed in who've actually gone in to the court hearings. That's on my YouTube channel if people want to check that out. Yeah, in the blue?
Just about Madeleine McCann, just to ask, what influence do you think the tabloid press have had? Because I can recall Jerry McCann saying that he felt his daughter had become a commodity in terms of the level of attention that they were getting. It was on the front page of the Daily Express for months on end.
Well, the... the interesting thing is every generation has a case that captures the mood of the nation and things that horrifies them. So there was Jamie Bulger, for example, and Madeleine McCann came after that. And it rather suited the government at the time because it happened just before Tony Blair ceased to be Prime Minister and Gordon Brown was becoming Prime Minister. And this story was something that helped them because they could seize upon it to distract from other issues.
Lady here.
I don't believe they were, no. So maybe if that was the case, then they would have determined it. But I don't know. Andrew, do you know much on that subject?
No. I don't.
But,
I mean, yeah.
I was just wondering about Robert Maxwell. What do you think happened to him? Accident?
Oh, he got
Epstein
as well, didn't he?
Robert Maxwell's injuries on his arms would suggest perhaps something different. So when people commit suicide, many people change their mind in the process. He had injuries on his arms, like he'd been trying to climb back on that boat. He knew his time was up. He was coming back to Britain to face, you know, very serious charges. And yes, he could have upset very powerful people. Again, I don't know about that, but the only member of the family who believes that he was actually killed was Ghislaine. The rest of them are resigned to the fact that it was an accident or suicide.
But there is a book called The Assassination of Robert Maxwell, and the theory in that is that he owed a lot of money, and the Mossad were involved, and they sent hitmen to the boat, basically, yeah. Okay, in the pink.
Whose name is going to come up next?
Well, she's been told that she can't name any names. People like Bill Clinton and stuff like that who are associated with it. Clinton was on the flight, what was it, dozens of times?
He was on the flight plane 26 or 27
without
times.
Without his Secret Service detail on some of those occasions and East European girls' names.
There's obviously further development with Kevin Spacey to come because he was very involved with them.
Guys, we've got time for one more question. I'm really sorry we've got to wrap it up. I know the guys are going to be out in your booth, aren't you?
Yeah. If you want the sequel to this, it'll be on the booth. Yeah. Or <you'll laughs> it's called Prison Time. one final question then. Yeah, on the end.
So you've talked a lot about manipulation. What do you think the psychology behind that is?
Well, I think most of the matters with the Epstein Maxwell case was about money more than anything.
Was it not ego?
Well, she already had all the connections she needed. She just used them for other purposes, and one person was traded to sort another. If you didn't do what they wanted, then bad things happened. That's many of these victims have told me.
Maria Farmer said that they joked a lot about the peasant class, and so I think there was a lot of ego and superiority complex, narcissism.
You know, and look at some of their associates. You know, Harvey Weinstein, he's in prison. He was pictured with them at Prince Andrew's house.
So if you've got any further questions, please come and see us at our booth, which is right next to this room. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Crime Conversations, recorded live at CrimeCon London 2022, partnered by CBS Reality. For more information on future CrimeCon events, visit crimecon.co.uk.